Hey guys, welcome back to Drinks with Friends, the podcast that talks about all things spirits. We drink with our friends, and my friend Kate is here today. Hi, Kate.
Hey, Samantha.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Listen, girl, it's been a week. It's been a week. So, as of right now, you know, usually I'm drinking, but today I'm drinking water.
Fine.
What do you have in your glass right now?
Well, I decided to pop open a bottle that was sent to me by a distillery. I believe their distillery does like clear spirits, so they're sourcing their whiskey. It's undisclosed. It's called Drop Tine 12 Point, and it's a bourbon whiskey finished in brandy barrels. So I am yet to try it and sample it, and I will report back to the distillery with my constructive criticisms.
Well, I mean, we do have the perfect guest on the show today to discuss whiskey and whiskey tastings and tasting notes. We have our good friend, the Thunder from Down Under, Nadia. You guys know her as a girl tasting whiskey, but we just call her Nadia. Hey, girl.
Hello.
Sorry, I had to do the Thunder Down Under.
Yeah, I love that. Do you know a funny story that I have, like, this is kind of gross, but I'm going to tell you anyway because it's funny.
Starting off right.
When we'd go camping, there was this bucket that I found at the camping store, and it was like a toilet, but it was a bucket. And I had Thunder Down Under as the label for it. I'm just like, that is hilarious. I bought it.
Oh, Jesus. Camping, I'm so sorry. Toilet.
So that Thunder was just Down, like, Under. I'm like, oh, I'm a camping shitter.
No, you are not. You are not. You are much better than a toilet. I'm so sorry then. I'm thinking more like Chippendales dancers, but okay, my mind's going to another place.
Isn't it funny what, like, things relate to in your mind?
It's true. That's funny. You think of, like, you know, sexy, you know, partially naked men, and she thinks of a shit bucket.
Yeah. I don't know if that says something about me.
No. It's fine. I just think Australia, you just think of, like, hot guys and I just everything think that can kill you down there.
I think Australia, I think big reptiles and big bugs and a lot of poisonous creatures.
It's so funny that everyone thinks that. You don't really see a lot of it.
Really?
Yeah, like out in, like, the middle of nowhere, but everyone lives mostly on the coastline. So here and there you'll get a big spider and whatnot, but it's, yeah, they're pretty gross when you do see them, but...
Now, what part of Australia are you? Are you the east, the west?
I am the south. So it's like in the middle, right down the bottom.
Cool.
Okay. Okay. Well, very nice. Well, thanks for coming on the show because for everyone listening, she's 13 hours ahead. So
I'm in the future, baby.
You're in the future. And you are gracious enough to be up so early in the morning drinking your coffee and just chatting with us about whiskey. So thank you, girl.
Yeah. Pleasure. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Love it.
Well, I mean, I guess first to start off, I mean, you have exploded on Instagram and you now are a brand. You have a website. No, it's awesome. Like, you know, it's great that you turned this hobby of whiskey, you know, into something. So take us back to, like, the beginning on your journey. I know it's only a few years ago, but like, what got you started into all this?
Yeah, look, it has just been something that has really just evolved, and I didn't really expect it to be where it is now, which is awesome. I think I like to live my life without expectations and sort of just see where it takes me, and this is a great example of where it can take you, I guess. But it really just started back in, oh God, I don't know what, 4 years ago, whatever that was. I've lost track of time after COVID.
2019, you're not that far in the future.
So we imported this piece of furniture, my husband and I, and we wanted to have, like, nice spirits on the bar so that when our friends, oh, I just looked at my dog and it had, like, dripped down its nose. I've not seen that before. Sorry, I'm very easily distracted. We imported this piece of furniture, wanted to have nice spirits on there. We started with, like, gin and rum, and I was like, oh, I don't really like straight gin, and I'd have to open a tonic every time I would drink it. And I'm like, that's just kind of wasteful. And rum was just too sweet. Anyway, so my husband's like quite the nerd, and he was like researching whiskies, and he brought home this bottle of Hibiki. And I was like, oh, what's the story with this? He was telling me all about it. And that is really where it started for me. I was like, what? They age it for how long? Like, some of these whiskies are as old as me. Like, that is wild. In a barrel. How does that happen? Anyway, so that sort of just started that whole wormhole for me. And then, yeah, it sort of moved into, obviously, Hibiki was something that was like super easy to drink neat, or with like an ice cube or something. But then it sort of started, I moved into, yeah, you know, your bourbons and things like that, and scotch, like your Speyside scotches. And then, yeah, it just kept growing, and then we'd get bottles, and I was like, maybe I should just like post some stuff. Like, that's where I would look for inspiration on what sort of bottles to get, was Instagram. And I did notice that it was solely like photos of just the bottle, and I was like, well, why not have fun with it? So being a little bit creative, I guess you could say, I did that and got in costumes and things, and people started to like it. So I was like, oh, cool. And then I realized how much of a great community it is, and, you know, started getting things sent, and I was like, this is awesome. And then, yeah, it just kept growing, and one thing led to another, and then I'd go to distilleries in Australia and learn more, and yeah, it's sort of just been an ever evolving thing.
So that's interesting to hear that a piece of furniture inspired you and your husband to say, listen, let's try to start like collecting stuff. And you, I mean, I think Japanese whiskey, it's kind of interesting that you like Japanese whiskey, because some of them remind me more of scotch.
Yeah.
You know, you get some of that smoky flavor to it.
Yeah.
Do you still gravitate towards like the Japanese whiskeys?
Not really, because they're so expensive and hard to get. So I don't get a lot of it. No, not really. But I love it. But yeah, I just don't have the access to it. So not really.
So being that you are in Australia, and you're saying already, you know, certain things are hard to get. I am under the impression that a lot of things are hard to get in terms of bourbon and whiskey. So, you know, how did you even get to a point where you're collecting and tasting and loving this particular spirit or whiskey, being that it's hard to, you can't just go to a liquor store and get anything that you want? How did you navigate that?
I suppose like where, when it started for me, was at a, like a pivotal time for bourbon in Australia. It hadn't quite exploded as much as it has now. So a lot of the bottles that I acquired that helped grow, I suppose, my following and things like that, and grab attention from people, were like, yeah, your BTACs and stuff. Like, that was easier to find back then, especially in Adelaide, because we are not as populated as Sydney and Melbourne. So, you know, I guess, and it's just a different demographic. So there were bottles sitting on the shelf, and they were a relatively good price. And yeah, so that's sort of where I fit that in there. But as for like, yeah, getting whiskey as well, like walking into a liquor store in the US was so different to walking into a liquor store in Australia. Like,
was it overwhelming almost?
I was just like, where do I begin? I want everything. So, yeah, the choice here is much, much less. I would say it's obviously grown in, like, the last few years, but even still, like, it's nowhere near as much. And that comes down to our import taxes are phenomenal. It's, yeah, a bit crazy. But I suppose I get access through, because there's a few people that will do barrel picks and then import, like a barrel and a whole heap of bottles with it. So there is where I guess I get a couple of different things. But, yeah, that's really how.
That's pretty cool. It is hard, but you manage to still sneak your way into this niche, even that it was tough to do.
Yeah, I suppose like a couple of, like, I guess I had a box of one of my followers in the US. He worked with a company over there and helped get a few things sent over. That was like some Sagamore. So just here and there, I've had like great followers and like friends that I've made through my Instagram that have helped me get stuff.
Yeah.
And samples have come over, things like that. But some companies have sent things. It's not really a thing that many of them do because of how much it is to ship stuff here, which sucks because they're like, hey, we want to send you this. I'm like, I'm in Australia. They're like, oh, all right, bye.
like, never mind.
Damn it.
No, but you do say, like, I mean, I follow you because I've known you now for a couple of years, but so there are whiskey distilleries that are popping up in Australia, right?
Yeah.
So it is catching on there. So Australian whiskey, never had anything Australian whiskey. Is there any differences that you notice compared to here in America or?
Predominantly.
What are the differences?
Yeah. So predominantly Australian whiskey is like barley predominantly. So it's like single malt. So it's not as sweet in flavor. And the casks that they are aged in are typically like your red wine or port or ex-bourbon. So I guess you just get a different flavor from that. The way that whiskey's aged in Australia, like our climate, it ages very fast. So it's a very different process. And it's, I think, a bit harder to get it to taste. I don't know. I don't want to say anything that's going to offend anyone.
No,
it's a bit harder to perfect because of all of the challenges we have in access to barrels, climate, funding, all of that stuff, like costs of even setup and taxes on alcohol and things like that. So I suppose they're the barriers that sort of sit in the way of the Australian whiskey market, as well as, like Australian whiskey, you're hard-pressed to find a good craft whiskey that is under $200 Australian dollars. So that's where, like I said, it's difficult to do.
Wow.
And because we've been making whiskey in Australia for really only 30-odd years, so it's not got that real long heritage that you guys do and Scotland. So it's definitely getting there.
That's a ways to go.
Yeah, it's
has
yeah.
A ways to go.
Yeah, for sure.
You're right. Like you managed getting barrels. Getting staves, whether they're used or new, just getting them to you. I mean, that is a huge challenge, and that's only one aspect
of
the whole process.
Yeah.
We
don't have facilities that just like pump out barrels
right
all the time. So it's just totally different.
And what kind of wood? I mean, what kind of trees are they, Australian trees that they're making, barrels out of? Like there's so many little complex like details. Are you shipping the wood? That's crazy because the wood embarks so much flavor. So essentially like that tree doesn't taste good.
Yeah.
I mean, like neither's your whiskey, but that's interesting. I'm curious to kind of myself dive in a little bit, some of those Australian distilleries and see like, where are they getting their barrels? If they're, I guess, homemaking them, aside from importing them, which are used some sort of wine barrel or, so that's, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of cool to think about it because I mean, I do see a lot of, bourbon enthusiasts in Australia.
Same.
And I do see like these distilleries. You're thinking like, wow, man, like it's really starting to get popular over there, but yet it's so hard for you guys to get your hands on this stuff. So kudos to you for building this off of this super hard to find stuff.
Yeah.
I'd
love to be able to like maybe even eventually get into that whole bringing more stuff in. But that's just an idea, I suppose, and maybe something that could happen down the line. But
sure.
Yeah.
If anyone could do it, it's you, my friend. It is you.
Right.
You can do it. You can make it happen.
Got this.
I just think it makes where you are today with your following really even more spectacular. It really does, because we have so much more access here and you don't, but you still manage to find a love for it and then find a following for it, which is really neat.
Yeah. Thanks. I appreciate that.
Well, And then also, like, I see that you guys are having, like, whiskey festivals.
Yeah.
And you're going to all these festivals. So talk about how what you've done on Instagram is now turned into you're traveling. You're doing these festivals. So, like, that's
I know.
How did this happen?
What the fuck? That's Who wants to see me at a festival? That's so wild.
I don't know.
I'm just like, what? Me? Okay, cool. Yeah, I suppose I feel like it's all really just started to boom in the last few years. Maybe I've only been doing this for like 4 years, so maybe it has been happening and I just haven't known about it. But mm-hmm. I feel like it's more popular now, and I feel like there's, yeah, more people invested in it. Like, it was definitely a beer thing and craft beer was big, but now these whiskey events are sort of gaining some traction and more people are maybe going and becoming aware of it. So then they, you know, have then the ability to make it bigger each year and whatnot. But I suppose, like, Meatstock, which is what I went to, that wasn't necessarily a whiskey festival, but I love barbecuing, so that sort of tied in, I mm-hmm. guess. That's been going for a while now, and they do it in a couple of different states. But, yeah, I've got the whiskey show from the Whiskey List. They put that together. They go around to each state, and it's like a big sort of conference, I guess, thing, and you have a stand. And so I'll be working it, and I talk about Penelope bourbon, which is what – yeah, I know. I love that stuff.
That's like that's like her favorite.
So that's easy to talk about.
It is.
And that's awesome. They import that to Australia. So
lucky.
Yeah, very lucky. So Brock, who does the work with that, he was actually one of the first people that really helped me in my bourbon and whiskey journey. He sent me some samples of some Bardstown stuff, and yeah, that really just like got it going for me too. So I love that I can help him out and, you know, get to work quite closely with him. He's actually doing a event next month. It's called the Bourbon Bus. So we go around Sydney in this bus and we like go to different bars and like a distillery. And yeah, it's like lots of fun. So things like that are starting to happen,
awesome.
And it's, yeah, it's awesome. So as much as we might not have all of the distilleries and, you know, all the big distilleries, so we do have distilleries here, they're just a lot smaller, we still get to do some really cool stuff, which is awesome. And I'm excited to see how it grows in, I suppose, the future and the next couple of years. I'd really love to see our government, you know, create some sort of like initiative or funding for the craft distillery sort of sector, because it really is something that I feel will bring even more tourism to each state. And yeah, it's something I'd love to see.
Yeah.
Gosh, man, I'm just thinking of bourbon bus. My mind is just, I'm just thinking of being on a bus and getting out of stop. So
yeah, no, I'm it's like, so much fun. So much fun. And like last year we went to like some bars and we made cocktails and we had food and everything. It's just, yeah, it's really cool. It's a great day. And obviously you're on the bus with a group of people that are into it as well. So you make friends and yeah, I normally get to talk and stand up the front. Well, I did last year anyway, and I'm doing it this year. And show everyone through and tell them what the next stop is and things like that. So that's really so much fun.
Oh, you're a tour guide. But a boozy one. It makes it even better.
It does.
It is better. It's a lot of fun, and it's great to listen to everyone throughout the day and see how boozy they get.
Oh, well.
That happens.
Now, with some of these companies, are you like are they sending you samples? Are you going there? Are you giving your opinion on some of their product they have? Like, do they these companies come to you and say, hey, here's a bottle, like they sent to Kate. What do you think about this? Do they ask you about marketing for it at all? Or
I think that like a company will see, I think they work very differently here in Australia as opposed to the States. Like people, because of the cost of what it takes to, I suppose, make their spirit, they're not quick to just hand it out and say, tell us what you think. They obviously would love to do that, but I think it's just like I think people's mindset on marketing is just different, and also especially influencer, or I guess you would like that's what I am, I guess. Influencer marketing is different in the spirits world. Like, it's not just a small product that they're like, we'll hand out to a whole heap of people to see what they think. So I do get stuff here and there, or more so if they want specific content made because of they like the way that I create my content, as opposed to it just being a see what you think type thing.
Okay.
If that is an answer.
No, that does make sense. I didn't know, like, if some of the Australian, like, distilleries that you go to, if they actually try to get your input on, like, some of their products or things like that. So
I suppose, yeah, they do, but it's not like a, here's the product, try it, tell us what you think. Right. It's more like, we know you'll love this. Can you create some content? And normally speaking, I won't create, well, not normally speaking, I don't create content if I don't like the product. So, yeah, simple as that.
So what is your background? You know, you're creating content and they want you to create content. What is your background outside of whiskey?
Well, I'm actually a hairdresser. Yeah. So I left school when I was 15 to start hairdressing. Cool. And I've been hustling ever since, baby. It's been a grind. Fuck me. So I, yeah, did hairdressing. So I've been doing that for like 13 years now, which is wild. I'm only 28. I added makeup onto my skill set, my repertoire. I don't really do that anymore though, because I just got way too busy. So I manage a salon. I've worked for the same employer for the whole time. So now I manage a team. So I've built that business up. We've been there nearly 7 years. I've got one's just qualified, but I've had four apprentices that I've trained up. One's just left. She's gone to the UK, which is awesome. She's just doing a bit of traveling and whatnot, but the others are still with me. So yeah, cool. Managing and, training, all of that, like, whilst still being on the floor and doing full-time client base. So it's been pretty full-on, actually, the last few years, especially adding this into my daily life. But I have actually just cut back at the salon, so I have a little bit more time to dedicate to this, because it's, you know, I get a lot of, like, happiness from it. So I really wanted to invest a bit more time into it so that I got more happiness out of my life, I guess.
But I can see the parallel with being a hairdresser, whether you're cutting or coloring, there's a creative side to that.
Yeah.
So you're doing all this, you know, people want you to market for them and create content and blah, blah, blah. There's a creative side to that too.
Yeah. I like to think as well, like, it's, I've always been super fascinated in human psychology as well. So I think when you're meeting people all the time in the salon and they're at their most vulnerable, you really begin to sort of understand the way things happen and why people do things. And I think obviously that comes in when you're doing marketing as well. And it's really just a sort of self-taught thing that I've picked up. I've always, like, I sort of just palmed that off the job, but I always ran our social media on for the salon and stuff, and I always found it interesting, like, what people would be interested in when I'd post it or at certain times. And then sort of, I guess that's where I've gone into doing it for myself, for my own page. But yeah,
well, it works. It's working.
Yeah. It's still very, very, very interesting, and I'm always fascinated by the way that Instagram works and what people or what gets, it's not even for, like, now it's definitely not for what people like, it's what Instagram will allow, which is really frustrating. Recently I had a reel go viral and I'm just like, that is crazy. I do not understand why that specific reel went so viral, and I've put so much time and energy into some other pieces of content, and they're like, they don't get any reach. And you're just like, duh.
Well, that's the beauty. Yeah. You never know what's going to resonate with someone.
Yeah, sure. What are you going to get today? Who knows if it's going to go on people's feeds or if it gets hidden, or, you know, even things getting taken down. It's so frustrating, damn Meta. Anyway.
I've had that too, things getting hidden or taken down, or before he clicks on them, it says, like, delicate or whatever content or whatever their verbiage is. And I've been shadow banned and I don't really post anything crazy.
Yeah.
But it's interesting and frustrating, like you said.
Very frustrating. Like when you've done, well, just recently I've had two promotional like jobs taken down and I've like checked in with Instagram and they're like, no response. So I'm like, this is so frustrating. I'm like, I've followed all of the guidelines. They've been a tagged partnership, everything. Mm-hmm. And they've just taken it down. And I feel terrible because this company has got me to do something and I can't control the fact I can't get it back now. So that's right. Very irritating. And now that they've got that whole blue tick thing, you can subscribe. But get this, I applied for it and they rejected me. It's like, are you kidding me? So I can't even.
Off of what basis would they reject you? Because I've seen accounts that have like 5,000 followers have the little blue check.
I think they couldn't tell that it was me or something on my picture. So I've recently changed it. And once I've gotten back, I think you have to wait like 45 days, 45 to 60 days before you can reapply. I'm like, for God's sake.
That is ridiculous, especially, you know, when I got hacked and, you know, my account got, you know, they changed my username to Deketed, not deleted, but Deketed. I'm like, obviously, I'm not in India. It was like such – I had to jump through hoops to get my account back. So, girl, I'm sorry.
Yes. That really sucks. It does suck. It's annoying. And I don't want
to – Well, that's okay. You don't need the blue check.
Only so that I can find out why the freaking hell is my stuff getting taken down? Because you supposedly can talk to Instagram and I just want to be like, listen here.
Yeah.
Stop messing with me.
Right.
Unless someone complained about it, but Jesus, that's people are whatever. That's stupid. That's stupid. I hear little barking back there. So I got to tell people that you're a new a dog mom.
Yeah,
now.
That's
congratulations.
Thank you.
You have a fur
I know
baby.
That's not my dog though. My dog's an angel. We haven't even heard him bark yet. He's asleep.
Whose dog is that?
One of the neighbors, I think.
Oh, whatever. But you are.
I am a new dog
mom.
You
have a fur baby.
Yeah,
now.
He's a freaking angel. He's a greyhound. I fell in love with greyhounds. Like, yeah, so beautiful. 7 years ago, actually, I was doing my last wedding for my old salon and it was one of my clients who was a vet nurse. So I went to her house and was doing hair and makeup for like 4 hours standing in the same spot. And the greyhound that she had was asleep by my feet the whole time. And I was like, I'm sorry, but is this normal? Why is your dog doing this? And she's like, no, he's like the laziest thing ever. And I, ever since, have been obsessed with greyhounds. And I was like, I need one in my life. So I've just recently moved into my own unit. I was renting renting my unit out. Anyway, so now I'm in my own unit. And I was like, well, I can do whatever I want now. And I'm getting a dog.
Yeah. Dogs make your life better.
Oh, my God. My life is so much better. Even if I have to get up really early and take him for a walk. Just a little sniff around. Not that he needs long because he's so lazy. Greyhounds are the laziest things ever. He slept all day.
They get zoomies. Yeah. They get their zoomies and then they chill.
So
that's
good.
My pit bull. Same thing. Just a big lazy land hippo.
Yeah, so good. Love it. And then they just.
But that's why we love them.
And they just love you. Come around.
I know.
Some screeches. Then they sleep.
Just
listen. You have dogs, bourbon, barbecue, and. Nadia likes beer because when her and her husband came to America, I helped them with their Disney tickets.
Yes.
I feel like a little sponsor.
You were amazing.
I took them to our favorite bottle shop where we drank lots of beer.
Place.
We drank bourbon.
So good.
Yeah, good
that
pickles.
Is the best place. I have like the best memories. Like I want my own tipples here.
Yes, we actually had – you didn't get to – maybe you did meet him. The store manager, he came on our show to talk about beer. I went there today to pick up some beer, and I told them that I'm like, you remember my friend Nadia from Australia? They're like, yeah, tell her we said hey.
Hey.
So, hey. But it's kind of funny. So I was like, hey, where do you guys want to go? And I'm like, I have this bottle shop. And then they get there like, oh, it's beer. And you guys were just walking around like, oh, my God, beer. I was like, oh, my God, this whiskey girl, we're all drinking beer together.
Love it. No, I love beer. Beer doesn't love me, but I love it. And
the older we get, beer.
No, it really doesn't. A little bit of heart reflux and a bit of bloating, but that's fine. You know, all in moderation.
Right.
But yeah, so we have.
Because you think of Australia, think of beer.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, really.
What's like the main spirit in Australia? Is it beer?
God.
What's the most popular?
I suppose it is beer. Yeah. Yeah. RDTs. Wait, is that what they're called? I always get dyslexic with the sim. Ready to drinks. RTDs.
Ready to drink. Oh, I'm like, huh? What is that?
So yeah, ready to drink. So like pre-mix things, they're like the most popular, really.
Okay. Oh, they're popular here too. I mean, we're at wherever you are, people are walking around with their Trulies or whatever, ready to
drink. Seltzers and whiskey and Coke and things like that. But yeah, that and beer and wine. Well, wine, we make a lot of wine here. So
yeah.
Okay.
I'm so bad. I should pay more attention to what is actually popular.
I feel like
it's not what I'm doing.
Yeah. And things change. There's like, there was a period where vodka was so popular and then that went out. And I mean, it ebbs and flows. Mm. Right now it's still ready to drink.
Yes.
Seltzers.
Yeah. Seltzers. Huge.
Flavored
Fireball. Everyone loves Fireball.
Not these girls. No.
Bad.
It's like mouthwash to me.
It's so funny. We had a going away for my apprentice friend. And her partner used to like manage bars and stuff, and they brought out like a tray of Fireball shots, and everyone's doing them, and they're like, "Oh my god!" And I'm just like drunk at like water, and I was just like, "Oh, that's easy," and everyone just laughed. They're like, "Oh, you actually drink whiskey,
right?"
Yes, this is cinnamon,
right?
Yeah, Fireball. It's universal, apparently. Yep. I have friends who love Fireball, and I just think to myself, I'm like, it's like mouthwash.
Same. So, you know, during my last deer hunting trip, they had a whole bucket of little bottles of Fireball, and they're passing it around. So there's, you know, 20 people probably, and they got to me, and I was like, absolutely not. And I just passed the bucket right on.
Yeah. No, and thanks.
Was like, yeah. And doing another one, I was like,
No.
I can't. And to each their own, right? Whatever. But no, thank you.
No, thank you very much. Pass the bucket.
Yep. A whole bucket, a little glass, little sample guy. And I'm like, no, who brought this? Why did you guys bring this? We have good beer. I brought good bourbon.
Yes. You have a good palate. That's one. I think especially if you start drinking a lot of bourbons, like a little higher proof, like we were talking about earlier, like your palate's a little bit different.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So like now, Nada, have you noticed from the beginning, from your start with the Japanese whiskeys, you know, trying different bourbons and whiskeys, like how has your palate changed? Have you found yourself liking something more now? Like you could handle hot stuff or like how's it changed?
I still feel like it changes all the time. And I most definitely get into little like funks of just drinking the same thing, which I'm terrible for. I really need to stop doing that because then I'll go and drink, say, scotch, and I'm like, But I do like it, but it's just like that palate shock change because it's such a different flavor.
Right.
And I think it is super important, not that I'm taking my own advice, but to keep drinking different stuff all the time. So I still really love bourbon. I definitely, when I first started drinking whiskey, like rye was not it for me. But it took me about a year and then I came back to it and I was like, it's like one of my favorite things now, rye whiskey. Like I still do drink scotch and I still do like it. It's one for me that I feel like it has to be aged for a while for me to really enjoy it and appreciate it, and probably cask strength as well to really feel like I get a lot of flavor. And that, I suppose, does come down to the fact that whiskey is probably upset some people saying things like this, but I suppose the climate there is so different and the barrels that are used are so different. Like it needs that age to really pull out the flavor of stuff from the barrel too. So
definitely. I mean, yeah, when it's too young, I just get like we were talking about this the other day, when you get things that are too young, all I get is like heat and
or just
alcohol.
Like
you don't get the developed flavors,
like just not it.
Yes. That's what I feel like this was that I sampled, and I'm going to say it in the nicest way. On the palate, there was not much flavor I could pick up. No finish, but all I got was that like astringent.
Mm. Yeah, it's like not it.
I don't want to be mean. I want to be constructive. But
well, I mean, yeah. Someone might like that. That's not being mean. I mean, you're just speaking like that's what you get on your palate when you first right. like
taste. And will it be right. different? Like, did you just open that bottle? It might be a little bit different if you come back to it.
Right.
Who knows?
Get some air. Yeah. Let it breathe. I left the bottle open for a minute. Let it sit in my Glen for maybe probably not long enough. But could somebody who's a new drinker put that with some ice and maybe even not because it's a little astringent. But yeah, the bottle changes as it opens up a little bit. So I'll revisit it. I'll try it again. But yeah, I'm with you in terms of the flavor, the cask strength.
Yeah.
High proofs.
Yeah, I love my high proof. Like that never, that has probably, yeah.
Full proofs.
Full proofs.
Listen, I like a good 125. There's nothing wrong with that.
I busted out some 125 last night with no warm up on my palate.
That's spicy, as my brother would say. he cannot drink hard proof or eat chili. I cooked dinner last night and had him round, and I forget because I just like have so much chili on everything. And I put one chili in, and he's like had one mouthful, and he's like, it's not even hot. I'm so bad. My poor friends. Anyone that comes here, I'm like, and you'll leave with a burning mouth from the whiskey and the chili.
I'm aww. Fine with both of those.
Me too.
Well, just tell it, bring your own milk.
Yeah.
Tell them, bring your own milk. Don't bring your own alcohol. I got the alcohol. Just bring your own milk.
Right.
Well, that's it.
Oh, well, you are a spicy girl. What can I say? I mean, you are spicy. if you meet her, she's a little spicy in real life.
I like spicy.
Hey.
No, spicy is good.
And food.
Gotta keep it interesting, I say.
Listen, you do. I mean, and so like with your bourbon journey, where do you see it taking you after this?
Yeah.
Like,
what's your goal?
What's your trajectory? Yeah.
Like I said, I'd like to not have expectations on things, which sounds like a bit of a cop out, but I don't
like that.
Have any specifics. I've got like dreams, I guess you'd say. Like, who knows? Maybe one day have my own like bar or something, or importing sort of situation. Like, those are big dreams. But who knows? Maybe.
Lofty goals.
Maybe.
Lofty goals. Or
I'm definitely, yeah, I am not interested in making my own whiskey. That's for sure. I don't, yeah. Like, I'll leave that to people that are good at that. And that's a whole, like, I'd have to go to school to learn how to do that. And I just, that's probably right. just not my thing. I like trying all different stuff, so I don't want to be stuck just doing the one. I definitely wouldn't – I don't think that I would want to be like a brand rep as such. Mm. I like the idea of keeping that variety and spice to life. But, yeah, whether it be importing or having my own space of some sort, that would be really yeah. cool.
Well, like drinking and educating, like, you know, telling people, having tastings and like, you know, let's.
Yeah, like even a space to do that, like that would be goals.
And have beer.
Beer, whiskey, like wine. Tipples. Yeah, it would be amazing. Low key, that's my dream.
I like that. Well, it's not a cop out. It's just kind of letting the world take you.
Yeah, and like it's really looked after me. The universe has looked after me so far. So I think I was a very anxious and not a like in control person for a long time. And as soon as I learned to just let it sort of be, life has just gone, oh, okay, here you go. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm a big believer in that.
I love that. I am too.
Oh,
it's
so awesome.
Like a nice little heart moment. Aww, on this episode of Drinks with Friends, we shed some tears. No, that was good. No, it's – well, and it's great because you can share this journey with your husband because he enjoys, you know, bourbon and whiskey as well and beer. So it's great that you have a partner who One takes pictures with a camera.
Very handy.
She's like, hey, babe, can you do this? Take a picture here. Let's do this. So, no, that's great that you have someone to share that with and you guys can grow. And
yeah,
journey.
It is amazing. I'm very, very, very lucky. And we have so much fun together. So, yeah, that definitely keeps it exciting too.
That's awesome.
Hey, now let me ask you. What is your favorite cocktail?
Well, actually, I made them last night. Yeah. I went to a bar here in Adelaide and it's like a 12-seater bar. So you have to make a booking and you have like an hour and a half and it's a secret one. You have to like knock on the door and be let in. And yeah, it's really cool. And the lighting is all dark and they have a greyhound there. Oh my God. Sold. I got to paddle. Yep. And they serve you this chicken soup and it's freaking delicious, like a little palate cleanser. Anyway, so the guy, the bartender, he comes up to you and he's like, what's your flavor profile? Like, what do you like? And I said to him, I was like, I like whiskey. I like it to taste like whiskey. I like it strong. I like it to be a little bit sweet and a little bit sour. And he made me a bourbon renewal.
Ooh.
Well, this is where someone asked me that the other day, yesterday too. And I was like, I actually don't know what's in it. I just know when I look at the recipe. It's bourbon and it's got lemon juice and it's got a little bit of sugar syrup. It's got a bit of bitters. And then I don't know what, I think it's creme de cassis. It's like a blackcurrant flavor and it's freaking superb. So that's my favorite at the moment. Like I've always loved a whiskey sour and old fashioned, but that's just got that little bit of like blackcurrant spice. Great.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds fun, actually. That's great that you can just tell this bartender, this is what I like. I like this, I like this, I like this.
Right.
Put it together.
Yeah, he made me like a tequila one as well. And I was like, this is freaking amazing. I don't know what that was, but it was good.
I would drink it.
Okay. You would drink the tequila. Now, is there cocktails that you make at home? That, like, you and your husband
Well,
sit down,
this is the
no,
thing. I'm not so good at making cocktails. But I managed to make that one, so...
That sounds complex.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, ginger ale, bourbon. Hey, there you guys. There you go.
I'm normally like, isn't it whiskey? There you go. Doesn't get much more complicated than that for me. But I will make this bourbon renewal now because I'm like, actually, I've got this. So I made them on Easter and I made them last night. And everyone seems to like them.
Listen, I'm going to have to look that up and try that.
Same.
So that's good because – Kate and I, we've been exploring cocktails. So she's more of a cocktail maker than I am. But, you know, you do better than I do. I'm going to try. I'm going to really start making some cocktails because sometimes, like, you know, here in Florida, you know how hot it is because you were here in September. It's hard just drinking, like, whiskey neat.
Yeah.
Because it's so damn hot. So you're like, I need
just
something.
Just to, like, break it up. Yeah. No wonder you like beer, too.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Cold and bubbly.
Unfortunately, little beer.
Damn.
That is all
I can't help it. Well, Nada, you've been amazing.
Oh, thank you.
You're always so much fun. And I always look forward to your posts.
Oh, yay. I need to do more. I've been so busy. Like, we filmed another episode of a girl apprentice tasting whiskey last night, and it's freaking hilarious. So I've got to edit that. That's taking up a lot of time, but it's fun.
And you post it on Instagram. Do you put that on your website as well?
I put it on YouTube. I need to use my website more. Okay. This is the thing. So I've taken one day off of being in the salon, so I'm not working Saturday, Sunday, Monday. But then I do like events or I have things on Saturday. So now I'm like, I really need to take another day so that then I can put it on my website because I'm learning how to edit and use the interweb and websites and things like that. I'm slow.
Okay.
So – it takes time to do these things, and I just need more of it.
Okay, so right now it's on Instagram. So what's the name of your episodes that you put
up? They're called Apprentice Tasting Whiskey. It's on YouTube as well. I'm on YouTube.
Okay.
That's a new thing too. I'm on YouTube now.
Is it a girl tasting whiskey?
Yep, that's what my YouTube is. Okay.
Okay, so now how often are you doing
around
that
about every week?
Once?
Yeah, so
okay, so like a once a week. Okay,
that's what we try and do.
So it gives us we can learn a little bit about.
Yeah, so basically the whole series, well, somewhat. It's more about just having fun. I try and be fun with my education. So I've got my apprentice. She's a country girl and listens to country music but can't shoot whiskey. So she wanted me to teach her how to drink whiskey. And so we're going through the motions of, you know, getting her palate used to that sort of flavor. And level of alcohol. So we've had a couple of episodes of like flavored whiskey and stuff that's sort of quite low proof. But yeah, I think we've only done 4 or 5. This is maybe the 5th episode. So yeah, it's all still very early days, but she is definitely getting used to it, and it's becoming a bit more natural for her. So it's good. It's really nice to see it, and she's getting excited about it, and it's awesome.
That is cool.
That's awesome. Doing something
different. I like that. So people can tune in on YouTube, on Instagram, and hopefully put on your website, girlfriend. Yeah, I've got to
put it on my website. Thanks.
Put on your website. Tag us, too, because I'd love to share it.
I will.
On the gram.
On the gram.
On the gram.
On the gram.
Well, I'm glad Kate and Nadia, you guys can meet each other.
Me too. You were lovely.
Oh, you were too.
Yes. Well, thank you, and hopefully, you know, it's Saturday for you, so once your day goes on, get yourself a good
yes
pour.
I will need it. I think I'm
once it's not
I'm going
early.
You'll like this, Kate. One of our friends, he hunts and he's got some venison. I think that's what it is. Yeah, cooking it up tonight, so I think we're going around there, and I'll probably take some. Yeah, I've never had it before, so that'll be interesting. Yeah. I don't think I've had it before.
Hopefully
no.
He knows how to cook it.
Yeah, well, he does it pretty regularly. So, yeah, he's normally on the barbecue otherwise. So, can't wait. Yeah, I'm very excited.
I love it. Enjoy it. Let me know what you think of it. I've got a freezer.
Full of it.
Freezer full of it. Oh, yeah.
So fun.
My favorite.
Well.
Sorry, Sam. Yeah. Well.
No, it's funny. I like venison. I know.
We're like talking about eating animals.
She's a hunter.
I am. Oh, I'm the crazy hunter. But Sam, she's a smoker of the animals.
Yeah.
She's good on the barbecue. So she's
I won't
about
kill
that
the
meat.
Animal, but
yeah.
I'll cook your animal. How's that?
Yeah.
I'll take it. I like it. Well, this was awesome. Right. It was great getting to know you from down under.
Thunder down under. Shit bucket.
No, I'm not going to say that ever again.
That is
never again.
Sam, that is what I'm going to title. That's going to be the episode.
Shit bucket.
Down under. Shit bucket.
Okay.
In brackets.
We talk with shit buckets.
Shit bucket.
Oh my God. Okay. We are having too much fun and we're not even drunk. So I'm going to say goodbye before this gets even worse.
I am too. Thank you for
joining us. Adios, everybody.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye bye.
Thanks for listening. And we'll catch you on the next episode of Drinks with Friends. Make sure to give us a review so others can find the show. And remember, every pour has a story.